It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Moran Monday, the 8th day of February 2021. There are only 20 days remaining in February and 41 until spring. Yes, you wouldn't know it over the from the last weekend or so, but nonetheless, it was, you know, one of the nicest things yesterday was that as I went out for Super Bowl snacks, I noticed that at 20 minutes past 6 Eastern Standard Time, there was still light in the sky. And that just encourages the daylights out of me. Oh, it does, it does, it does. So, if you would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place in this program, when this program is live, you know, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, well, you know, run on over to headon.live, click on the chat room link, and you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Roger and Squeaky and Terry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has today, this day, folded space to become Man Cave. And a good time will be had by all. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so thanks go out to our 8th, 7th, and 6th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks very kindly to Brendan and Dwayne. Thank you to Nancy. Thank you to Susan. Thank you to Marsha. Thank you very kindly to Reed and Brock. Thank you to James. Thanks as well to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Kitty in Boston. Thank you to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to our buddy Don in West Tennistan. And thank you to Michael in Madison, who single-handedly wrestled a humongous freaking couch out of his place in Madison. And I don't know how he did it, but way to go. Thank you, John. Thank you all so very much, and thanks to everybody who made the community miracle this past week. That means that our fundraising goal for the evening is $250, which is awfully damned impressive and wonderful and helpful. So we raised $250 this evening. It'll be a happy, happy thing. And, of course, being as it's the beginning of the program, naturally, Robin, the mamas and the papas, Moran Monday and California dreaming. I made many political phone calls from late September last year until, well, hell, I'm still making those calls, Joey says. And today I stumbled across a woman by the name of Amanda in Columbus. Before I realized that I was speaking with a person who had connections to Ohio native and recent House of Representatives, Harley Rauta from California's 48th, the Ruby Red District in Orange County. I asked Amanda if what he was doing since he lost that seat to a woman by the name of Michelle Steele in 2020, and she informed me that Harley Rauta was running again for the same seat in 2022. Oh, God. Jeffrey's after us already. with some encouragement for the former congressman that took the 48th from Dana Rohrabacher in 2017. Jeffrey implores the former 48th District Congressman to run, Rauta, run.
Run, Rauta.
No, wrong voice. Ron, Rauta, Ron. Okay, Jeffrey, that wasn't too bad. We may be able to get through the rest of this this little note. I'm just glad you didn't say something like, vote Rauta and ride a Harley back to the House. Oh, no. You're not helping again, Joey. I then told Amanda to tell Harley I'll be out here knocking on doors if the COVID is under control by the fall of 2022. You said, why don't you tell him yourself? She connected me through to his office in Southern Cal and said, please leave him a message. He'll love it. So upon fully intending to hear an answering service and instruct me to leave a message, I heard a voice say, hello, this is Harley. How may I help you? So I replied, hi, Harley Rauta. This is Joey from the Buckeye State, fully thinking I was speaking to an answering service, mind you. I just want you to know if you're planning on running in 22, I'm more than willing to help in any way I can. And then yelled, O-H. And just as I was getting ready to end the message, I heard a voice yell back, I-O. Huh? What? Yeah. I was stunned. Then I realized I was actually speaking with one and only Harley Rauta alive and in color. Wow, what a shock. Jeffrey whispered to,
as opposed to if you were talking to Trump, and that would not be in live and in color, but you would be speaking with a deadbeat in orange. Arr.
After recovering from the shock, I explained to him that over the years I've followed all the Democratic House members in California because I love the state. This is how I was aware that you were from Ohio, but unfortunately so is Daryl Issa, who recently held the 49th District. I went on to quickly explain that Daryl Issa is a felon who actually stole cars before he went to California to market car alarms. And this is true. You just can't make this stuff up. Issa attended Kent State in Stark County in Canton, Ohio. Toward the end of a quick conversation, I told Harley that I realized that he attended Ohio State and Capital University for his law degree. I then jokingly asked him if he realized that Capital had to close. Rauta shot back, really? Because of COVID? I said, no, but because Jim Jordan received his law degree from Capital after you did. Oh, he liked that one and laughed out loud. I finished the conversation by telling Rauta I had just worked in Georgia and I would be coming to California's 48th to help him win back that seat with a sign that will say, stop the steal. I remember steal. Yeah. Yep. Democrats, we have to win back the 48th from Michelle Park Steele. Harley told me to stay in touch with Amanda in Columbus and I hope to see you out here in the fall of 22. O-H! And Jeffrey finishes,
yes, as it turns out, Rauta's father started a real estate company in Columbus in the 70s, and as it turns out, George Bush and Dick Cheney in 2004 had a business in Ohio called Steel Estate.
Ah. This has been Joey's Journal for More End Monday, the 8th day of February, 2021, with Giraffrey doing some California dreaming in the middle of winter. That was that. I love those little coincidences, don't you? It's just, it's fun. It makes life interesting, I guess you could say. But it is, no kidding, it really, really is More End Monday. And consequently, that means that we're going to have a lot of looniness to deal with here in the next 3 hours, and hopefully we'll be okay. But, you know, that being the case, well, you know how this works.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, you will not believe your ears. It's More End Monday on the Horn. Yes, indeed, here, right behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, we've got all the More Ends you could possibly handle. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, maggots, trumpanzees, libertarians, the entire weird panoply of right-wingery, all gathered together behind, as aforementioned, a thin cybernetic veil of canvas. Yes, indeed, only moments ago, You were vainly throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in the dire hope of bringing home a not-so-precious little baby iguana. And now, here you stand, ready to enter the Moran Monday tent. Remember, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, kiddies and cousins, if you want to keep the Moran Monday tent traveling throughout the country and coming to your community from time to time, well, just go to headon.live, click on the relevant boxes. A $10 a month subscriber sets you back one half of one stick. Okay, maybe a whole stick of Wrigley's chewing gum per day of broadcasting. Oh my God, how will we? How can one get by? A quick warning and an advisory note: those entering the Moran Monday tent should keep a close hand on wallets, purses, fanny packs, belly packs, rings, bracelets, brooches, clasps, necklaces, piercing hardware. Hell, the Morans will even go for try to steal the tattoos out of your skin, because after all, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your eyeballs in Morans. Oh, and we are. Sweet Jesus, we are. We so are. Why not start this Moran Monday with a little something-something in the way of Moranity? We could save this for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, but it's more of an economic story than it is a religious one, so we'll use it today for Moran Monday, because there's nothing that says that even though he's a gospel sharp and a religion industrialist and a shuckster and a shyster and a con man, that Pat Robertson isn't also a Moran. And it's been a while since we heard from Marion Robertson, there's no Francis. But anyway, the former liquor supply officer. But him being a probably near a billionaire and all now, he's worried. He's worried about what that heathen Joe Biden's going to do to this here economy. Now, again, just a reminder, you know, Marion's not exactly living on rice and beans. No, nor canned mackerel. Marion is a multi-gazillionaire who never has to worry about anything for the rest of his unnaturally long life. Nope, he doesn't. But we were reminded over the weekend that remarkably long lives do come to an end. You know, ask not for whom the bell tolls or any of that shit, but the fact of the matter is, George P. Shultz, wild-eyed right-wing Republican under George H.W. Bush, Secretary of State, wasn't he? Reagan. No, he's under Reagan. Under Reagan. My God, it's... But anyway, as Jesse Lee Peterson likes to put it, he did. 100 years old, cut down in his prime. Well, nonetheless, I don't know. This isn't a story about George Shultz. He died, and the tiger that he had, the Princeton tiger that he had tattooed on his ass, died with him. Yeah, hell of a thing. Nil nisi bonum and all that crap. But Marion Robertson, we still have with us. Yes, Lord Jesus, yes. And Marion, who really never has to worry about anything, Marion finds himself worried. Yes. Like I said, he's worried about what that scallywag Joe Biden will do to our Merkin economy. Right. Yeah. Let's just do this. Because, you know, he's crazy.
$1 billion bill. Vaccine distribution is up and COVID cases are down. So why do we need such a costly relief plan? And could this plan bankrupt the entire country? Unbelievable. How can they even think of something as insane as that is that somehow, in order to bankrupt America, then they can come out and have a new era where the United States is taken over by socialists. I don't understand what the game plan is, but spending us into bankruptcy is not the way to make anybody happy.
You got that? Bankruptcy. Helping people out who desperately need help is going to bankrupt America. There's only one problem. Yeah, granted, I'm not one of these highfalutin economics types or anything, but you can't go bankrupt when you print your own money. Now, you might have some inflation problems. You might have a recession. You might have a depression. But you're not going to go bankrupt because, again, you get to print your own money. But I love hearing a billionaire whine and piss and moan about we're going to go bankrupt if a mom and dad get $1,400 apiece. Now, I do like the fact that there's a movement out there that we're pushing from our side saying, no. No. How about, how about we pay everybody a monthly sum from now on until this thing is beat? You know, so people can pay their power bills and pay their mortgages and whatnot. Yeah. Because why? Because that would be just awful. Now, Stephen New York says a country can be bankrupt when it prints its own money. When it prints its own money and it writes its own bankruptcy laws, it can, wow. Okay. I guess Steve's better with the economic stuff than I am, but I'm absolutely flummoxed to figure out how Pat Robertson Marion can say that when, four scant years ago, he was as quiet as the tomb, as silent as a graven image when it came to giving away. Oh, okay. Thank you. That makes things a little okay. Bankruptcy, Steve notes, I mistyped. It can't be. Thank you. I feel ever so much better. You can't. But, and again, the larger point, hi, I'm Robin. The larger point is that, he said not a word. He was not at all afraid of bankruptcy when the trillions of dollars were going to people like him. He just gets his brooga, brooga, brooga bankruptcy on if it's something that might help poor people. And you know, at the same time, if this, this kind of stimulus goes through, you know, he'll be pitching for people to just endorse their checks and send them to Pat. Because that's how it works. You'll notice I haven't said much about the Super Bowl. What's to say? The Super Bowl that ended the NFL season that never should have been played in the first place. Oh, well. I did not get the outcome I wanted. I desperately wanted to see Tom Brady's face ground into the turf play after play after play, but no, that didn't happen. Kansas City mailed it in, and Donald Trump's favorite fucking quarterback has another ring. Yeah, oh well. Meh. So, let's see. I think we've passed, Steve, have we passed pitchers and catchers report? Because I guess we're going to try to keep playing baseball. And then, well, it's only, let's see, 8 minus 2. It's only 6 months till college two-a-days start. The larger point, Steve points out, is fuck Marion Robertson. He's a disingenuous wanker and a tosspot. Well, all of those are true things. In addition, Anatole points out in the chat room, Pat Robertson's a flippin' moron. Yeah, that's why he led Moran Monday. Oh, yes. Sumon pointing out, Patty Robbie Maybe his hedge fund didn't get in on the GameStop squeeze ride on time. Did you get that article? Yes. Suman sent me an article pointing out that it was other hedge funds that really made the killing on GameStop. Yeah, of course. And the other thing to bear in mind, now that it's, I guess, pretty much passed, is that if you felt like you were rooting for the little guy, please understand that the same people who were creating the GameStop frenzy, well, that whole operation was largely run by the same people who hang out on 4chan and 8chan and the various maggoty subreddits. The Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command headquarters staff and the Proud Boys. Those assholes. So it was really one of those incidents where you kind of wound up wishing they could all go broke. Damn it. Yeah. Thank you, Suman. Lou, tell me, or did you write this, or is this a cut and paste from somewhere else? But email that says, "Where are the vaccines?" Lou sent it along. A few weeks into her part-time job vaccinating nursing home staff members and residents against the coronavirus, Catherine, a pharmacist, noticed a problem. Roughly 15 to 20 vaccines were being thrown away at the end of each vaccination session. That's because the number of doses she and her coworkers had prepared, per the protocol established by Catherine's manager at CVS, the pharmacy she works for, exceeded the number of people who showed up to be inoculated, often significantly. They then realized if they just prepared one or two vials at a time instead of 20 or more, as they had been doing, they could avoid wasting most doses. Yeah. So, God only knows, and we talked about this some previously, God only knows how many doses of vaccine have been thrown away because of the way that the ampules were, well, they're not really ampules, but the bottles were filled. The piece goes on and says, if we don't know where the shots have gone, how can we possibly know what portions have been lost, discarded, or even stolen? And if we don't know where or how or why such waste is occurring, how can we possibly hope to minimize it? Did you realize, because I learned this over the weekend and I found it harrowing to consider. Of all the vaccine doses administered so far in the United States, only 5% have gone to people of color. Goddamn. That's breathtaking in its cruelty. And, of course, that was, partially because of the fuck-ups that come with letting maggots control the distribution of the vaccine. I was treated again this weekend, and it is Moran Monday, so a Moran nomination goes out to every cable news outfit, every TV journalism outfit that did a, hoo-wee, look how good them hillbillies is doing giving shots. Who would have thunk it? Pieces. Because we're not doing great. Please, I reiterate, you've already heard me say it. But if you see one of those stories about how star-spangled awesome West Virginia is at vaccinating people, please understand it's bullshit. It's a fraud. It absolutely is. And because, we talked about it Friday, if you've got 10 doses of vaccine and you give out 8, you've got an 80% vaccination rate. But you only had 10 vaccines. We've got a lot more than 10. But still, no, we're nowhere near where we need to be. Okay, and by the way, Lou says that's an op-ed from the New York Times. No, you weren't cryptic at all. I was just trying to I didn't want to attribute something to you, and I didn't think you would want it attributed to you, Lou, if it was not yours. So I completely understand. But I'm sure this week, Jim Justice will come out, make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice will come out again and say, I just want to reiterate to you that in no way, shape, form, or fashion does that vaccination cause you to grow antlers. There's a lot of West Virginians now thinking, hey, you know what? It'd be kind of cool to have antlers. But you just kind of have to cave up during deer season because this place goes a little crazy about then. And you'd have to wear blaze orange for the rest of your life. So, no. Yeah, because poaching. Yeah, Lou points out 9% of Americans have had at least one shot. 9%. That's not the way to herd immunity, but I'm not selling the Biden administration short. They are busting their ass. And I think they may actually get their 100 million doses in 100 days. Because we're actually making efforts to figure out better ways to get more vaccines into more arms. Something that really wasn't done during the maggot maladministration. No. Have you noticed something, Steve asked? The Moranity isn't coming from the White House anymore. The AFP, the American Fascist Party caucus in the House, is picking up all the slack. Yeah, they are that. The maggots in Wyoming, by the way, and it couldn't happen to a nicer lady, is demanding that Liz dick in a bad wig before he dicks you. Cheney, they're demanding that she resign her seat in the Congress. And remember, Matt Gaetz went out there to campaign against her. And now Junior, you know, traitor tot, is saying that, he might just decide to move to Wyoming to primary. Oh, sweet Jesus. Can we please convict this man soon? Can you imagine having that? Because I'd give him even odds of winning in Wyoming. Even though, well, he'd have to go out and buy himself a little postage stamp of ground and maybe put a mobile home on it or something to establish residency. But, you know, since when have laws ever, or violating them, ever slowed down a fucking Trump, huh? It really. And just for a little bit of fun, because morons, we take you now to Pasadena, California. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our pal Devin for this. Where a guy carrying a gun went into a restaurant. Yeah. Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles. And the mask hole covidiot was not, well, he was being a mask hole covidiot, no mask. And he goes into Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles, places an order, and they said, sorry, can't serve you. You don't have a mask on. It's the law. So dude turns around, toddles out the door, I guess goes to his car, comes back in with a handgun. Loaded. It's all on video. And chased the cook around the kitchen and yells, put the chicken in the bag. Didn't want money. But he was willing to use deadly force to obtain his chicken that he could have simply purchased had he put on a damn mask. So far, even though his image was captured on the closed circuit TV cameras that the restaurant has, the authorities don't yet know his identities. Pasadena law enforcement officials said no one was injured in the robbery and that the only thing taken was food.
Shh. I'm pretty sure that in California, even if you're only taking chicken, it's probably not okay to take said chicken by the persuasion of a pistol pointed at a precarious perch. No.
So probably going to be some, probably going to, I mean, I, Your Honor, yes, he did commit the theft of the chicken with a handgun. He's caught dead to rights, but do you know how good the chicken is at Roscoe's, Your Honor? No, that's not, I don't think that's going to be a viable argument in front of a jury. Well, he only took the chicken. And how funny is it that the cops are the ones, all he took was the chicken. Looks like some good chicken, too. Yum. More ends. Okay, so this one's a little more disturbing. Pinellas County, Florida. Today, there was a news conference by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. Reuters had reported that local government officials there in Pinellas County announced that hackers got very close to poisoning an entire town by breaching a water treatment facility. Yeah, here's that Internet of Things we were all so excited about. A group of hackers, for some reason or another, committed what Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Gualtieri said was an unlawful intrusion into the water treatment system of Oldsmar, Florida. What they were doing, quote, showed up on the operator's screen with a mouse being moved about to open various software functions that control the water being treated in the system. Because, well, some of the chemicals that are used to treat water for public consumption in the wrong amount can get real deadly real fast. And they were looking, they were on the verge of changing the chemical levels and potentially poisoning the entire city of Oldsmar, Florida. Now, what's lacking in all of this is some degree of clarity. Hi, Clarity. As to who did this. What kind of hackers? Where did the hacking come from? Gee, I don't know. Maybe that whole... remember when Moscow Mitch shut down an attempt to make our elections more secure? Yeah. This. But that's chilling. You'd never even know. It reminds me of what happened back here in, what, 2014? Yeah, it was 2014 when the Freedom disaster occurred, and people only knew that they had been poisoned when they started smelling licorice, which is apparently what methyl isocyanate smells. No, that's Mick. That's not meant. No, that's Bhopal. Oh, come on. What was that? Well, I've forgotten it after 7 years, because it was about this time. But at least they had the smell to go by to know that things were not okay. So you have to ask, who would want to do something like that? And how far would someone have to go to get to the point where Oldsmar, Florida was your target? You know, why Pinellas County, Florida? Why Oldsmar? I'd never even heard of Oldsmar, Florida. Could that be why? A test run? And when I read the story, it's like, damn. I remember when we were told back after the 2016 elections that, lo and behold, Russian hackers had gotten all the way into some election systems in Florida and other parts of the country. But to this day, we've not been told how much damage they did or whether any votes were flipped. I will never be convinced that they didn't flip votes. Why wouldn't you? You know, if you're a hacker from a troll farm in Mother Russia, right? Yeah. And the information continues to come out from how the cue balls and cucumbers responded to Nitwit Nero's calls for action. A year ago, Donnie O'Sullivan at CNN went undercover to a cue ball meeting. And at the meeting, they watched Nitwit Nero as he refused to disavow them. It is another one of those things that's chilling. The meeting took place in Arizonistan, and some of the people in the room in this particular clip participated in the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. You know, it kind of blew my mind when I realized over the weekend that we had passed the one-month anniversary of that. That flew past in a hurry. Here's the clip from CNN.
One little piece of advice for the mainstream media is not everything can be debunked.
The media is either going to have to get on the right side of history or they're going to go down with the ship.
You might think wearing a face mask would help a reporter go unnoticed, but not at this gathering of QAnon followers in Arizona just 2 weeks before November's election.
Take off those damned masks and leave them on.
That's me and my colleague there. Two of the very few people wearing masks at this indoor event in the middle of a pandemic. And the guy at the back of the room, he's known as the QAnon Shaman, and he would go on to storm the Capitol in January.
Yep, and he's standing there in the meeting with his full cucumber shaman regalia, you know, his entire Ted Nugent cosplay convention costume. Of course, now he's eating organic food in some detention facility somewhere. Remember, if you ever get arrested, tell them that your religion requires you to have filet mignon twice a day and a 2-pound lobster for lunch every day, and Ocetra caviar with toast for breakfast, because your imaginary friend in the sky requires you to eat that way.
We go one, we go all, I won't push you down, won't let me fall.
Where we go one, we go all, an infamous QAnon slogan promoted by Trump.
Where we derp one, we derp all. Yeah. God. And did you notice that one little line earlier back there? The mainstream media has to understand that not everything can be debunked. Well, bunk can. But the QAnon stupidity perniciously continues to hang on. The best part of the whole clip, though, is what they do when they see, get when they see
the First National Security Advisor
Nero.
Michael Flynn.
Where we go one, we go all.
And played as an anthem at this meeting of Trump supporters.
We are at war right now, and we in this room understand that very, very much.
Obviously, you've heard the president talking about stuff, haven't you?
Yeah.
That QAnon thing.
Yeah.
Did he disavow it, anybody?
No.
Two nights earlier, Trump had praised QAnon followers at a town hall with Savannah Guthrie.
Can you just once and for all state that that is completely not true,
so,
and disavow QAnon in its entirety?
I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that.
The message to the people in this room was clear. Trump.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Jesus. It's not going to go away. Because remember, QAnon is just another outgrowth. the John Birch Society and the Klansmen formed the basis of the teabaggers, and the teabaggers morphed into the maggots, and the maggots morphed into the cue balls. Where they go next? Well, that's one of those things that we'll be watching between now and 2022, don't you suppose? Because I do. As noted on Friday, Canada has declared the Proud Boys a terrorist organization. But do we? No, because we fetishize the First Amendment. And speaking of the First Amendment, tomorrow's popcorn day. Don't think you can just go out in the morning and get you some popcorn. You probably want to make sure that you've got some on hand now, because you're going to be popping it like crazy tomorrow. I know I will. As we watch the opening of Nitwit Nero's second Senate impeachment trial. Yes, he truly was a historic president, wasn't he? Yeah. The only president to be impeached twice. That's what makes him historic. But speaking of the First Amendment, his pettifogging lawyers, one of whom is, I believe, Bruce Castor, Bruce Castor, it turns out, is a bit of a racist. Okay, not a bit of a racist. He's a lot of a racist. A whole lot of a racist. Because Bruce Castor says that, we may play some clips, when they say that Nitwit Nero, my client, incited the riot, we may have to play clips of the buildings burning and Americans cheering them on. Not quite the same as saying go down there and fight like hell and I'll be right there with you, but oh well. I mean, it's amazing for a lawyer of that status and stature, standing, to actually argue that the First Amendment is absolute, that you can say that the president can say anything he damned well wants to, and there's not a damn thing any of us can do about it. Up to and including yelling, movie in a crowded firehouse. These limitations on free speech have been there all along. Some even predate the ratification of the Constitution. But we're talking here about some truly, no kidding, really very bad, awful, no good lawyers. What it boils down to is that it's that old legal adage. Everybody who goes to law school probably hears it on day one. And it says that if you have the facts as a lawyer, if you have the facts, pound on the facts. If you have the law, pound on the law. And if you have neither one, pound on the table. I suspect we're going to be seeing a lot of table pounding in the next few days. But one of Nitwit Nero's lawyers at least he's not demanding he be fed organic food. But he claims to be an observant practitioner of the Jewish faith, of, I guess, some degree of orthodoxy or not, and that he will ask that the trial be recessed if it gets up close to the Sabbath, Friday at sundown. Well, a place like Washington, D.C., by this Friday, sunset should probably be arriving about 6:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I really can't imagine that, but of course that goes to sundown Saturday. He's trying to monkey wrench the proceedings. Yep, that's what Glenn Kirshner said. Darlene in Connecticut says on his program Justice Matters, he said that criminal defense attorneys throughout the country need to immediately file motions asking that their incarcerated clients be fed organic food. And of course, and you may have already discussed this as I tuned in a bit late, Jenny Cudd is getting her Mexico vacation. The freaking judge is allowing her to go. Seriously. This is so sick and twisted and pathetic. Trump judges. Oh, yeah, lady, yeah, go ahead. Go to Mexico. And, you know, if it turns out that yeah, maybe you can't find your way back or something like that, that's okay, too. Don't worry about it. We won't forfeit your bond. Yeesh. And, yeah, Flavio reminding us from Friday, Fox canceled Lou Dobbs. Is Fox now infected with cancel culture? Yeah, but as with all things, Flavio, remember, please, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. They can cancel till hell freezes over and nobody's going to scream cancel culture about them. Yep. As to the popcorn, Lee in New York wants to know, is organic popcorn required when the shaman testifies? Oh, I realize it would be lovely to have the shaman testify. But the House managers asked that Nitwit Nero testify. And Nitwit Nero's defense team said, are you crazy? That's legal malpractice for us. But it highlights an interesting aspect of the impeachment trial. Remember, it's not a criminal proceeding. So you really can't claim, I don't think, it wouldn't seem that you could. You can't claim the right not to testify under the Fifth Amendment. The language of the Fifth Amendment is, it's fairly short. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy, that's the double jeopardy clause, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. It strikes me that there's two parts of this amendment that speak to the impeachment trial. One, can't be compelled in a criminal case. This is not a criminal case. Two, deprivation of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Because arguably, stripping him of the ability to hold any office of or position of trust or honor or profit in the United States government, that's a property right. That's absolutely a property right. So he has to have due process inside, within the four corners of his impeachment trial. Here's the fun part, though. In the case of an impeachment trial in the Senate, due process is whatever the Senate says it is. As Susan Rice once famously said back during the Obama administration, due process is the process that you're due. So I'm kind of, and all of these things are controlled by the Senate manual on impeachment. But I should think that the managers, the prosecutors, should have the right to subpoena Nitwit Nero for examination in the trial. But it looks at this point as if it's going to be all video. They're going to let him condemn himself through recordings of his own words, telling the maggots to go down there and fight like hell or you won't have a country anymore, sending them to the Capitol. So I imagine you, we, our community together are probably in pretty much the same place right now. We're gonna be in front of our various telescreens yes, screams, watching and hanging on every word. Unfortunately, I have some appointments tomorrow that I have to attend, and this is kind of a program announcement. I have an appointment tomorrow in Beckley that may keep me from being on the air. I hope not. If I get back late, I'll still try to get on the air. And so please bear with me. I will. I'll get back here as quickly as I possibly can. I should be done by 4 or a little bit later, which will probably put me right in the door right then, right at showtime. So just, a note. Yeah, Earther and I are in the same religion. Oh, my God, you're in the same religion as I am? Lobster breakfast. Damn right. The goddess of irony will accept nothing less. And, just like Mike Pence, I hear a deity's voice in my head telling me, "Yep, lobster for breakfast, Ocetra caviar on toast with little fine bits of gold worked into the dough." Gold is edible, to a certain extent. Yeah, absolutely. Yummy. And Darlene reminds us, or lets us know, Trump is now under investigation by the Georgia Secretary of State for attempting to overturn the election. Brad Raffensperger. There is no reason to think, I don't think, that any charges will come out of it. My God, the maggots would shoot Brad Raffensperger if he tried something like that. But it's all about the call that he made to Raffensperger saying, I just need you to find 11,000 extra votes. It'll be a big risk if you don't. So the investigation itself, as the report notes, is only of a fact-finding sort. But if the findings are strong enough, could lead, and somebody's brave enough, could lead to criminal charges based on Georgia law, not federal law. And if he really does have a pocket pardon, that won't matter because that'll be a violation of state law, not federal. And speaking of morons, there's a brief on it. Congressional Research Service. Thank you, Steve, for that. Obtaining witnesses in an impeachment trial, compulsion, executive privilege, and the courts. One procedural choice, this was dated January 21st, 2020, one procedural choice in the impending trial of President Donald Trump that's received sustained attention is whether the Senate will hear from witnesses, and if so, how many and in what form? And it goes into some history, but says if the Senate chooses to seek testimony or documents from witnesses in the upcoming trial, it may, much as the House did during its impeachment investigation, find some potential witnesses to be uncooperative. And the Senate does have a subpoena. If a witness refuses to comply with an impeachment trial subpoena, the Senate has at least two available mechanisms to enforce its demands. The Senate may punish in a summary way contempts of and disobedience to its authority by having the sergeant-at-arms employ such aid and assistance as may be necessary to enforce, execute, and carry into effect the lawful orders. And so it has happened in the past. In 1933, the sergeant-at-arms, on order from the Senate, arrested and detained Judge Harold Lauterbach. That individual, that witness, not Lauterbach himself, but that witness was brought before the Senate and ultimately, the brief notes, testified. So it's an interesting legal conundrum because because executive privilege wraps in with it. CRSreports.congress.gov
look for obtaining witnesses in an impeachment trial, and you can read this at your leisure. Oh, and you know how you've probably seen the meme going around that, you know, we spend umpty bajillion dollars every year on the defense budget, and a bunch of maggots manage to overpower the Capitol in a matter of hours. Yeah. There's a lot to be worried about, and I can only hope that the Secret Service are doing their damn job, because at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland, according to a report in Stars and Stripes just at the end of last week, a man was detained at Joint Base Andrews only after he had gotten aboard a C-40 aircraft on the base. He had a couple of outstanding warrants against him. And Joint Base Andrews said, by way of explanation, an adult male gained access to Joint Base Andrews yesterday. The individual gained unauthorized access to the flight line and entered a C-40 aircraft assigned to the 89th Airlift Wing. Joint Base Andrews security forces responded, detained, and interviewed the individual. U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations assisted with the interview. He was booked by OSI and given a federal summons for trespassing. He was turned over to local law enforcement, given that he had two outstanding warrants. The man was unarmed and did not harm any personnel, and there's no indication that the individual has any links to extremist groups. Well, you know, we've been through that whole didn't have any known links to extremist groups thing before, haven't we? Isn't the entire military about to enter a stand down because of those aforementioned extremist groups that it turned out that we didn't know members of the National Guard were affiliated with prior to the inauguration? Not knowing and there not being not knowing there are ties versus not being any ties are two entirely different critters. Colonel Roy Oberhaus, the vice wing commander of the 316th Wing at Joint Base Andrews, said, "The security of our installation is paramount. This was a serious breach of security, and Joint Base Andrews is investigating the incident to determine basically how it happened." So the fact that he didn't have a gun, what, we're supposed to feel better from that? Because honest to God, I don't know about you, but I don't. No, I don't. I wonder if they'll let me listen to the impeachment proceedings in my appointment. That would probably, no, I guess not. Damn it. Oh, and COVID-19 has claimed a member of the government. Representative Ron Wright, of course, of Texas, has passed away. He was battling cancer, but he got COVID-19. And again, as Jesse Lee Peterson so often says, he did. A spokesperson made the announcement today. He's the first sitting member of Congress to die after testing positive for coronavirus. He was from Arlington, Texas. He was, of course, a Republican. And his the announcement stated that his wife Susan was by his side, and he's now in the presence of their Lord and Savior. Theirs, not yours. And they close with a verse from Philippians 4. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, I'm just sitting here trying to wonder about, you know, what a Texas Republican could have had in his life that was pure or lovely or admirable or excellent or praiseworthy. We're not talking about the man.
We're not speaking ill of the dead. But it's really hard for me to read that verse from Flip-Floppians and think that it has any applicability when you're talking about, well, a maggot. Sorry, not trying to be hateful about things. No, I'm not. Steve in New York says, we need to ponder this business of Wyoming and Liz Cheney. Anyone who actually challenges a Cheney ends up in an alley with two holes in their neck and all of their blood sucked out of their body. Well, I mean, yeah. And a little paper hole punch nearby, I guess. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Liz has those extendable fangs. Maybe it's one of those magic things. God. But I wanted to bring something, because it's, as John Bredevo pointed out on the program Friday, we were talking about it. Republicans don't take time off. They're already working hand over fist, hammer and tongs, at what they hope to do in 2022, namely take back the House and the Senate. Joey in his journal today mentioned, as we had previously mentioned, that Jim Shorts Jordan has his eyes set on being chair of House Judiciary, which means just interminable Benghazi-like hearings over Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're all about to lose our mind. And so, consequently, well, they're planning, and we need to be planning too. With the announcement of Richard Shelby saying that, no, I don't think I want to be a senior senator from Alabama no more. That's another, that brings us to four, the number of Senate seats that will be open that had been held by Republicans. Now, I guess in theory, they think that they can retire because their maggot states are just unquestionably blood red and maggoty. But Georgia kind of put the lie to that, didn't it? And so all weekend I've been thinking, you know, and I think I may have said it Friday, please, sweet pick baby Jesus, please, pretty please, goddess of irony, please, let Roy Tola Moore be the nominee of the Republican Party. And I don't know... I'm not that deep into Alabama politics. I don't know what they have in the way of really strong leaders in the otherwise moribund Democratic Party. I mean, the most powerful Democrat in Alabama at this point would be Terry Sewell. She's a member of Congress, represents the district that includes Selma. Maybe she'd want to think about running for the Democrat, but I don't know. But those four seats are important. And overall, this next round of Senate Senate elections in 2022 is going to be another potentially brutal one for the Republicans. Now, I think in 2024, it's going to be ugly for us again. But in 2022, they have to defend over 20 Senate seats. And if we can just be good about our politics, if we can just have some focus and not go, squirrel, no, we might be able to do even better. We defend our own seats and go after theirs. Dare to dream. Oh, going back to the Ms. Cudd on the way to Mexico. Arnold points out, NPR has stories ad nauseam of people spending years in jail in the South for $300-$400 bench warrants. But these psychos can go to Mexico? Well, again, Arnold, please. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Because, of course. And we're kind of all over the place, but Steve in New York says, you know, it's time to dispatch Stacey Abrams to Alabama. No, Alabama needs its own Stacey Abrams, I think, Steve, because she's going to be extremely busy come 2022. And already is. Oh, for fuck's sake. Yep. The dead representing right from Arlington, Texas. Flavio points out, also a stalwart defender of the rights of the unborn. You know, blastocysts. And I don't know about you, but I saw clips of the Super Bowl and stuff, and I just got the creeps about it. There's no way that can't turn into a super spreader event. Because I don't think they require, did they require everybody there to have had a vaccination? Wouldn't that mean that everybody there was over 65 or a healthcare worker? I know a lot of the tickets went to healthcare workers, and I get that. But it's still creepy and scary, especially when you take into account stories like this, namely that in South Africa, and maybe next time he calls in, Kevin in South Africa could tell us a little bit more about it. But the government of South Africa has stopped their rollout of the AstraZeneca vaccine because it's turned out that the AstraZeneca vaccine is not, the health minister of South Africa said that AstraZeneca's vaccine, quote, provides minimal protection against mild disease caused by the new South African variant. They had a press conference. Two virologists said South Africa would institute a new process whereby vaccines were studied in a research phase to try and determine that each vaccine reduces COVID hospitalizations in South Africa despite the widespread new variant. Salim Abdul Karim, an epidemiologist at Columbia University and part of a commission advising the South African government, said the AstraZeneca vaccine rollout needs to be put on a temporary halt while we get the clinical efficacy information in, and the way we can do that is with the new approach to rollout. Then Barry Schaub, chair of the South African Ministerial Advisory Committee, said, I think we need just to maybe suspend use of AstraZeneca, but investigate it more and more fully to see can we utilize it more effectively. And the variant we're talking about is B.1.351. And when we say AstraZeneca, we're talking about the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine, which, if I understand correctly, the UK has rolled out vigorously. There are no real clear answers to the problem. But an Indian vaccine maker, Serum Institute, is making the vaccine as fast as they possibly can for worldwide rollout. But if it isn't effective, according to a professor of vaccinology at the University of Witwatersrand, before B1351 achieved a common status in South Africa, mild cases of the disease were reduced by 75%. That dropped once B1351 started surging. Jesus, that dropped to 22% based on 42 cases of symptomatic COVID. It's all, you know, the statistics to it is all terribly confusing. But that's just scary. Downright frightful. AstraZeneca, meanwhile, is saying that The study was small. There were only 1,765 volunteers of the median age of 31. They believe the vaccine will still protect against severe disease caused by B1351. God. And that's what the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, where we said, well, you know, it's only 65%. Well, the nice thing about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, as far as we can tell, is that it has an 85% protection rate against severe manifestations of the disease, but it also hasn't necessarily run up against B1351 either. And all the news stories we have say, well, you know, we think it's going to work. And I'm not in any way trying to mock the people who are busting their ass to help get us out of this nightmare. But we are in an undiscovered country. And there's, well, that phrase again, the only way out is through. But, yeah, this is the third vaccine to show reduced efficacy against B1351. I misspoke. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine at 66% overall effectiveness against moderate to severe disease was only 57% effective against moderate to severe disease brought on by B1351. Yeah. So, you know, despite how many ignorant people there may be in our country, and there are apparently a lot of them, we're still going to have to wear masks. We're still going to have to socially distance. Jesus. Going to be a while. It's going to be a long while. I saw something the other day that suggested that at the current rate of vaccination, we will achieve herd immunity 7 years from now. I'll be 65. It kind of blows my mind. Really. Oh, and by the way, this is, of course, Conversation Radio. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, you're more than welcome to. We've crossed into the second hour of the program. And yes, we've still got $250 to raise to fully fund today's broadcast. So if you want to help out, thank you very kindly. And thanks again for the Community Made Miracle of last week. Thank you so very much. And if you'd like to participate, well, you know how. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. I'm slowly but surely fixing things, and I got to get around to fixing that. But Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, and then if you need to dial a telephone number, you can just dial, please. If you need to input a phone number, 304-574-8178. And then, of course, the stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And you can, if you want to email, you can use the email portal at headon.live, or you can just email to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. Another thing to fix. Yeah, it's going to take time. But do please feel free to jump in. And, you know, we always welcome new callers, because we're constantly trying to expand the conversation. God. We were talking about the impeachment proceedings, the trial. The clowns of his legal defense. Well, God bless them. Bless their hearts. Even their brief is full of typos. Misspells. Has a few. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that way, way, way back, you work on those. You try to make sure you don't have any of those.
But, you know, this is what you get when you get a racist like, what's his name, Castor. And he's what you were able to scrape up at the dried out bottom of the pickle barrel. Oops. Note from Albert. I saw a CNN report about some gatherings that game fans were attending before the game. It showed few people wearing masks or practicing social distancing. Oh, I saw the same thing the night before. Oh, they were partying like there was no tomorrow. And, you know, for some of them, there won't be. Stupid, stupid, stupid people. Intensely stupid people. And so the latest statement on the impeachment, I got that earlier in the day. For some reason, they send them to me. Yay. It's hilarious. But over on Twitter, Dave Weigel at the Washington Post pointed out that the Trump office insists on never calling him former president, but continues to scream that he's a private citizen. Weigel said, it's genuinely funny. How many private citizens have official seals? Because he's still using the official seal of the presidency of the president of the United States. The statement said, President Trump and his counsel are pleased that there was bipartisan support on how to structure the impeachment trial. We appreciate that Senate Republican leadership stood strong for due process and secured a structure that is consistent with past precedent. This process will provide us with an opportunity to explain to senators why it is absurd and unconstitutional to hold an impeachment trial against a private citizen who still insists on being called the president. Yeah, good luck with all that. Jesus. Oh, and congratulations to the legal team of Rachel Maddow. Mm-hmm. Because her legal team just scored a paycheck in the amount of $258,391.50. For legal fees defending a lawsuit brought by none other than Onan, the network that spills its news upon the floor. And I didn't know it, but Onan is actually owned by an outfit called Herring. Which kind of makes you wonder if it's all an inside joke, because, you know, that's what we call a we call something that is a deliberate distraction from reality or from factuality. We call the cliche for that is a red herring. Well, Herring filed a suit against Maddow, MSNBC, NBC, because of a story in 2019 where Rachel Maddow said that one of the contributors at Onan also worked for Sputnik, you know, the Russian news organization. And went on to say that that Onan is literally is paid Russian propaganda. And then Herring filed a defamation suit asking for $10 million. And over at Law and Crime, they wrote, attorneys representing Maddow and MSNBC responded by filing a special motion to strike the case under California's anti-strategic lawsuits against public participation, anti-SLAPP laws. Yeah. This is a suit in federal court. And U.S. District Judge Cynthia Bichant said, yep, MSNBC's right. And they get legal fees under the California anti-SLAPP law. The court calculated, according to Law and Crime, the court calculated that Maddow's team of high-priced attorneys from the law firm Gibson Dunn, including famed First Amendment attorney, attorney Ted Boutros Jr., were entitled to collect on 363.1 hours, yet never
I mean, that's 1/10 of 1 hour. That's 6 minutes. They missed nothing because lawyers can divide anything into fractions of hours and fractions of minutes. 363.1 hours that came to a legal bill of $247,667.50. And I am not going to try to cipher this on the fly. I just want to see how this works out to the in terms of a billable rate. That's 247,667.50 divided by 363.1 equal. Wow, that ain't shabby. $682.09 per hour. Good work if you can get it. They also billed $10,724 for hours that were billed by their paralegals. And Onan is going to have to write the check. Because at some point in time, they'll have to figure out whether it's worth spending more money to appeal it or just write the damn check. California anti-slap law sounds like the New York law at issue in Palin's case that we were talking about on Friday night, Steve says. Well, I'll be damned. It's fascinating. Silent R. Lamar's out there engaging in some design. I've just designed a pair of pants that works for me. It's a full body slack. For me to talk to you, I must unzip my pants as if I'm going to piss on you. The eye slots are just below the belt loop and pockets. They stop people from getting to choose or getting too close, and I don't get, I don't have to wear a mask. What do you think? You know, I'm just afraid of the things that the zipper would catch, and a button fly is ineffective, Silent R, so you might want to go back to the drawing board. If he uses the official seal, Lee in New York asks, isn't that enough reason to have the impeachment trial? All by itself. Didn't think about it that way, but yeah. Absolutely. No, I was talking about the typos earlier. I mean, this is... if this was me, I'd be embarrassed. Ryan Goodman is a chaired professor at NYU Law School, used to work for the Department of Defense Special Counsel, or as the Special Counsel, and said, Trump's brief is filled with falsehoods that Republican senators personally know to be untrue. Brief, Trump acted swiftly to quell the violence. Senator Graham, it took him a while to appreciate the gravity of the situation. The president saw these people as allies in his journey. Mm-hmm. And he really did just take it apart. Further, they described flat-out misrepresentations. That would be Brian Cault. He's widely viewed as a leading expert in constitutional law dealing with the presidency, presidential pardons, impeachment, succession, and the 25th Amendment. Trump's legal team cited him 15 times previously. Now, not so much. On page 30, note 79, when a president is no longer in office, the objective of an impeachment ceases. No. At least not according to Brian Cault. But here's one of the better parts of this stupidity. The dumb bastards actually cite Gateway Pundit. The real truth is that the people who criminally breached the Capitol did so of their own accord and for their own reasons, and they are being criminally prosecuted. While never willing to allow a good crisis to go to waste, the Democratic leadership is incapable of understanding that not everything can always be blamed on their political adversaries, no matter how very badly they may wish to exploit any moment of uncertainty on the part of the American people. Which is all by itself freaking hilarious in light of the fact that I remember the 2018 horror.
The caravans are coming. The caravans are coming. The Democrats did this. They're paying people to come here.
They go on to claim that the House impeachment trial denied Nitwit Nero his constitutionally mandated due process rights. That's bullshit. Not participating is not the same thing as not being allowed. And so the quote about note 17, some anti-Trump, anti-government Boogaloo boy leader who aligns with Black Lives Matter, Gateway Pundit, January 17th. No, really. What I said earlier about when you've got the facts, pound on the facts, when you've got the law, pound on the law, and when you don't have either, you pound on the table. This is that. That's when you're citing the Gateway Pundit, that's the functional equivalent of pounding on the table. And I said there were misspells, typos. It's not like they typed T-E-H instead of T-H-E. It's not like autocorrect does and I despise, where it defaults to IT apostrophe S instead of ITS possessive. No, it's not that either. Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers misspelled again the United States. According to Nitwit Nero's lawyers, we are the United States. No, really. Not kidding. Yeah. United States. Ah, well, you know, everybody makes mistakes, right? Even if it's the most important pleading of your life. Right. Yeah. So, like I said, more in Monday, and plenty of them. Wow, on the story of the legal fees for Rachel Maddow's team, Billable Rick, who would know about such things, says the legal recovery for her legal team, those are some eye-popping fees. For me to bill $250,000 worth of legal fees, I'd have to work 476 hours, i.e. at $5.25 an hour. So, you know, maybe, you know, what, 363 hours. And that's not just one lawyer. Oh, no. That's an entire, that's a team. Silent R. Lamar says, oh, please, on the real, I feel the reason for the typos in Trump's briefs is due to too much texting. As a teacher, my students misspell words due to texting. Am I right? A-M-I-R-I-T-E. Yeah. So there seems to be a considerable amount of agreement as we go toward the impeachment beginning tomorrow that there really is it's not much of a defense at all. It's bad and shitty. And it's what he's got because his other lawyers bailed because they were unwilling to argue in an open proceeding that the election was stolen. Damn. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Oh, let's move around a little bit. Get away from the impeachment. I'm sure we'll be back to it. But how about let me get this thing loaded here. Melrose Park. And where did it go? Yeah, there it is. The Illinois, that's Melrose Park, Illinois. And their mayor, Ronald Serpico, no kidding. It was toward the end of January when he lost his shit at a public meeting. The Chicago Sun-Times with a report. And in the course of losing his shit, he said, the Chicago Sun-Times said, at one point, Serpico says the man looks like a blank blank, using a racial epithet to insult black people, but the guy he's attacking is a white guy. Mayor Serpico, of course, issued an apology, but doubled down on his attack on the individual that he was screaming at in the first place, a guy named Mike Kazi. I regret making these comments. This resident has repeatedly harassed me and the village board of trustees, and in this instance, my frustration got the better of me. I apologize for my comments and pledge to do better in the future. Well, you know. Because, I mean, who doesn't do that? Right? Oh, and sometimes morons are assholes. Not just funny and stupid. Story comes out of Colorado. It's another vaccine nightmare. A 72-year-old man from Longmont got set up with an appointment for his first COVID-19 vaccine. But then the hospital turned around and canceled his vaccine appointment because he owed them $243.85. Michael Rogan said, I never expected to have to pay up and be square before I could get the vaccine. I thought by my being 72 and a cancer patient, that I would qualify and it'd be no problem. They called me on Tuesday and scheduled the first and second doses of the vaccine. Then on Wednesday, I got a call from someone else in the organization saying I wouldn't be able to get the vaccine until I paid my outstanding bill. Hold the hell on. Are people being billed for the vaccine? I don't know the answer. But according to the journalists who looked into it, he was eligible, Mr. Rogan was, for his vaccine in Colorado. So how does the hospital get to hold his vaccine hostage? So Chris Vanderveen, who is a medical billing journalism anonymous account critic with Channel 9 News, I think in Denver, And the CEO of the hospital, after Channel 9 News made enough noise about it, the CEO of the hospital said he'd fix this. The CEO of Boulder Medical Center called Mr. Rogan, said there'd been an error in the way the billing department communicated. And so Mr. Rogan finally got his vaccine. And the thing is that they would have persisted. They would have hung on. They would have gone to the very bitter end if a journalist had not been involved. They would have. Ridden him into the ground. And if he got COVID and wasn't vaccinated and died, guess what? They would have come after his estate for that $243 fucking dollars. And however many cents. $243.85. Merca. Greatest country in the history of the world on earth now today in the universe under God. Gotta love that for-profit healthcare system. Just imagine, you know, if we had Canada's system, there wouldn't be a $243 bill for him to have to pay. He's 72 years old. He's Medicaid eligible. How does he owe $200? Oh, well, that's the copay. God damn. But of course, I'm sure, you know, we can't have universal single payer or anything like that, or a public option. Oh, hell no. You know, because that leads inexorably to, well, communism. Everybody knows that. God Almighty. But with the story of the guy from the Moran earlier this evening who went on to Joint Base Andrews and the assholes who were within a couple of clicks of poisoning an entire city or town in Florida, it took me back to something I read late last week from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Hampton Stahl is a militia researcher with an outfit called the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project, a nonprofit journalism outfit. And what Hampton Stahl found writing for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution was that instead of being chastened by what they did and the outflow from it, on January 6th, they're doubling down, you know, because they're a bunch of filthy, gunned-up maggots. And, the report pointed out that 3%er militias and Merc and Patriots, USA, APUSA, are, just as we heard that the QAnon, the Q-balls, are joining up with the sovereign citizens. Well, the 3%ers and the APUSA, well, they're joining forces. And so Hampton Stahl says that things are going to get worse before they get better. We can't drop our guard, and there have to be vigorous prosecutions, the likes of which have not yet happened. The article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution had a quote from Justin Thayer. Runs an outfit called the Georgia 3% Martyrs. They're 3% martyr. 97% fucking idiots. Treasonous idiots. Justin Thayer said, "The white patriots are now being hunted down."
You're not a patriot, dickhead.
"The white patriots are now being hunted down and arrested by feller men and women who have taken the same oath has disheartened any faith I had in the redemption or reformation of the USA as one entity." Now, this is one of the assholes who provided security for Marjorie Taylor Greene Cueball when she was running for office. And they have, you know, they have a pedigree. Chester Doles, the article points out, was part of American Patriots USA in North Georgia. And before that, he was part of any number of racist and neo-Nazi hate groups before he started American Patriots North Georgia in 2019. Their goal? Secession. Because apparently their great-great-great-great-grandparents did not quite get the message through that, and not so much their parents, but, well, apparently William Tecumseh Sherman didn't quite get the message all the way through. They want to amend the Constitution or collapse the American experiment and let Georgia be a nation state unto itself. No shit. And of course, the language they use is a carryover from the Lost Cause. "For the last 150 years, the imperial Yankee culture of the Northeast has been molding Georgia and the South in general into its perfect image. Things are different now. Everything's changed. We've seen our last Republican president in American history." And good fucking riddance. "The ballot box, we tried as hard as we could try. It's not working. We both have the same objective," APUSA and the three percenters, "and work with other organizations. So it was the best interest of the movement to become allies," and they spelled it allies, "and work together." Yep. So they went and they voted. And they lost. And this, they think, is a damned good reason to tear the nation to pieces. Yeah. Arthur pointing out, "I always enjoy a good entity. On the other hand, these guys are huge boobs." Wait a minute. That's quality. Yes, 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 it is. That's it. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, in this house, this day, are many more hens. And some other stuff out there. This would be prayer meeting Wednesday, but again, it's not really. This is business. And I'm still scratching my head. I've been scratching it all weekend trying to figure out how this happened. The Catholic Church in West Virginia, whose previous bishop was known for his predilection for spending church money on outrageous luxuries for himself and friends. And along the way, a little bit of the, you know, the usual child rape, sexual abuse, that sort of thing. Well, they've audited, or there has been an audit by an outfit called,
it's an independent auditors group, let's put it that way. But they audited the diocese that runs the entire Catholic Church in the state of West Virginia. And it turns out that Holy Mother Church in West Virginia got nearly a cool $2 million from the PPP program, COVID-19 relief. In point of fact, they got exactly a PPP loan in the amount of $1,996,372. That's $1,996,372 that could have helped real businesses in this state. But at least with this, we have something resembling an admission that they're a business. Because the PPP was for businesses. Oh, okay, nonprofits too. But really? The church? The Catholic Church had to have PPP? Because they couldn't reach into their own coffers? Oh, wait, those have been drained by the sexual abuse suits, I'm sure. Yeah. Bishop Mark Brennan, who released a letter along with the audit, said, "There was no reason for our church employees who pay taxes to lose their jobs and possibly their homes when the government was making funds available precisely to keep people at work." Yeah, but you're the religion industry. You're not a business. And you're also filthy fucking rich. I mean, I guess that whole Jesus stuff is just a sham to make a buck. Huh, imagine that. Who saw that coming? But yeah. Yeah, we needed that money. The funds were used to pay employee salaries and health care. Gosh, if we had universal single-payer health care, the church wouldn't have had to worry about it. And the loans are eligible. This is the best part. This is the fun part. For forgiveness. Imagine that. The government's in the forgiveness business. I thought that was supposed to be the church's. As long as the money was used for payroll and other select expenses, and the diocese plans to apply for forgiveness from the federal government. Like I said, I thought Jesus did that. Yeah. Some parishes, schools, and Catholic charities do need that help, however, and the diocese will help those who qualify apply for it. Qualify. Huh. Again, I don't remember any qualifications in the Gospels. And this all happened because of a larger investigation by the Associated Press. Man, good work if you can get it. Nationwide, the Roman Catholic Church, Holy Mother Church, one of the single richest entities on the entire planet, pulled in a cool $3 billion of your money. Your money. Our money. Meanwhile, they were sitting on and did not, and therefore did not need the $2 million. Because they were sitting on $10 billion in cash. Ten, that's with a B. And then, like I said, there were sexual scandals and financial scandals relating to former Bishop Michael Bramsfield. He created a $17 million nonprofit, Bramsfield did, called the Bishop's Fund. Yeah, I'll bet it was the Bishop. Take the D off. The Bishop's Fund. And he would use that to funnel money around the state. It's been dissolved. They used the money to separate the Wheeling Hospital from the diocese.
Bramsfield was so awful that Pope Frank forbade him from ever living in West Virginia again. They sold off the bishop's parsonage residence. That brought in $1.2 million. And remember, they got $1.996 million in PPP. And Brennan, trying to put as brave a face on it as he could, said, "Money cannot heal emotional and religious wounds, however, so we must keep praying and reaching out to victims and others affected by sexual harassment and abuse." Yeah, they're going to pray and they're going to reach out. But, you know, the money really can't do anything. There's no sense in paying any money. Wouldn't you love to hear that argument made in front of a jury? Oh, and guess where Holy Mother Church was getting a whole bunch of her liquid cash? Wait for it. Now, bear in mind, Pope Frank wrote he wrote a papal pronouncement on the environment, Laudato Si, talking about the necessity to transition to renewable energy, that sort of thing. Well, according to West Virginia Public Radio's report, oil and gas royalties are a primary source of liquidity for the diocese, liquidity standing in and doing the work for money. According to the audit, mineral rights owned by the diocese on oil and gas in Texas lost $3.2 million in 2020 and an additional $6.4 million in 2019. The auditors wrote, "The current international energy environment enhances the volatility of the oil and gas industry. Changes in this environment could also have a significant impact on both the value of the assets recorded and the oil and gas royalties received." But Bishop Brennan has said that the diocese is considering divesting from their oil and gas. Said that in a meeting with one of his parishioners, you know, Senator Joe Manchin. They are critically examining their mineral rights assets. He said, "We're going to take a real look at that, but we're not going to do it right now." Hey, Joe, can you get us another $2 million? You know the old rule, never touch the principal. Eesh. Dave, meanwhile, in the blind, writes, "Georgia is a nation state. Somebody take away their booze. I think they got hold of a batch of bad hooch. Economically speaking, they'd better not have a downturn in the peach market. Otherwise, don't forget the peanuts. Otherwise, people could go hungry. But they'll probably blame that on Sherman, too. Why is it that anything that's wrong with what they've done or are about to do gets blamed on the other guy? It's called projection. God help the rest of this if this catches on again. I think there should have been executions the last time the leaders of this kind of bullshit got up to it." Yeah, I share your sentiment, Dave. I do. Let's run over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy Monday to you, Bob. This is me, Reggie, from the Cato Jersey, talking at you again.
Hey, Reggie, how are you, buddy?
Just fine. Did you hear what that idiot Nancy Mace had to say about AOC's, shall we say, story, if you will, her sexual survival story?
Who? Did you say Nancy Grace?
No, I said Nancy Mace.
Oh, but don't know who that is.
Well, she's a Republican politician.
Oh, okay.
Who said that?
I can't keep up with all the maggots, Reggie.
Right. Well, her office is two doors down, and there was no, shall we say, insurrection in their hallway, on their floor. And she's accusing AOC of politicizing her story to people. You know.
Yeah, because talking about sexual assault is politicizing it.
Right. Yeah, that's, to her it is. So she said she was a sexual assault survivor too. I don't know if I believe that or not.
How do you go about finding out one way or the other, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, How was your favorite day yesterday? You know, the Super Bowl.
I didn't even watch.
You didn't watch. Oh, well, of course, you know, Tampa Bay won yesterday, but you must have been busy doing other things. I can understand that.
Yeah, I was busy not watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. So,
I know what happened, and then I guess there were some good commercials, and the weekend was awesome in the halftime show, and great, but college football, pro football, the last baseball season, I didn't have it in me. There's too much serious shit going on. And that was just a level of diversion I couldn't handle.
You're not into it anymore.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying anymore, but I just think the whole thing was a horrible mistake in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, yeah, you have to talk to them about that, Bob. Sorry, you have to tell them that. But it happened, so. And now, you know, good old Tom Brady finally retired. But do you think that old Donnie Boy is going to be impeached or not?
Reggie, he's already been impeached.
You know. Yeah, I mean, but
the question is, will he be convicted?
Exactly. But you know who stood against that one.
Sure. Moscow Mitch.
Yeah. You know, the turtle. He stood against that one. You know. But, you know, we got to do something, Bob. You say consequences have, actions have consequences to them. Do they not? Do they not?
You'd like to hope, but as these legal experts have pointed out, every senator in that body knows he's guilty. Every senator in that body knows he did what he did. But they're scared to death. They're scared to death of him, Reggie. They're still scared to death of him. And they're afraid that he'll send his maggot army out and primary him. Right. And if I'm sitting here talking this evening, as I have been, about how they have to defend 20-plus seats in 2022.
Yeah.
Then you can darn well rest assured that they know it too.
Yeah. I didn't know he had that much control and power over these people. I didn't know they fear.
It's not him per se. It's the violence and the ferocity and the fascism that he can leverage. They know, right. You know, if you look, like I was talking about, Richard Shelby in Alabama has said that he's not going to run in 2022. That doesn't mean he's going to vote against Nitwit Nero in this trial. Because Alabama is absolutely up to its eyeballs in maggots. Mm-hmm. In maggots.
Right.
I mean, well, the states are right next to each other. You're in Georgia, obviously.
Yeah.
Alabama ain't Georgia.
Right.
Alabama is still eons behind where Georgia is now. And thanks to Stacey Abrams, Georgia now has a viable Democratic Party that can challenge, contest and compete. Not so much Alabama. The Alabama Democratic Party, because I'm still in touch with some friends down there, and to a person they say the same thing to me. The Alabama Democratic Party is a freaking laughingstock.
Right.
And so it remains to be seen if they can pull together enough to snag a Senate seat.
Right.
And I hope they can.
Yeah, me too, Bob. Me too. But you, like I said before, and I'll say it again, you know what side of the aisle of spectrum that these maggots get the information from. You know exactly where they get the information from.
You know? Newsmuck, Fox, Onan.
Yes, right. and they got rid of Green, but we got to get rid of her, period. You know, they got her out, kicked out, right?
No, she's only off her, she's only off her committees, Reggie.
Yeah, but
she's not, right. She's not been expelled. That resolution is still circulating in the House as led by Cori Bush, but she has not been expelled. And I don't even think there's certainly not the number of signatures on the petition to get it onto the floor on a discharge petition.
Right. And remember, Cori Bush had to move her office to yet another location.
Because Marjorie Taylor Greene's staff were trying to kill her staff.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Right. And you know, they censored Liz Cheney because she voted to impeach Trump. But, you probably don't feel bad about her, but, you know, do you because of who she served, you know?
Even after that, she turned around and started barking and hooting and grunting about how it's wrong to try Trump. And it was wrong to strip Marjorie Taylor Greene, even though she voted for it.
Oh, yeah, she was on Fox saying that. Yeah, she was on Fox saying that. You know, these people, man. These people. If they had any sense, they'd get them out of office. I mean, the ones that, you know, live in these states. I mean, if we could do that down here in Georgia, they can do it everywhere else around this country.
No, they can't, Reggie. They can't.
Why not?
Georgia was a special circumstance. Georgia was a special circumstance.
Right.
And Georgia has had demographic shifts and demographic changes. And, like I said, most importantly, Georgia has Stacey Abrams, who has mobilized a voting base that can bring about real change. You think Alabama has that? You think Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Louisiana, mm-hmm. Mississippi, Arkansas? They don't have that.
No, and neither does South Carolina, if you want to add something to that.
I had South Carolina in there.
Yeah, none of them. They don't have, like you said, they're all eons behind the Georgians over here. They're all, you know, eons behind. But they don't have that. They don't have the guts or the courage to change parties.
The next big change will very likely be
politicians.
Whenever it comes along, Reggie, the next big change will be Texas.
Oh, they're going to turn that into a blue or purple state? You know them Texans are going to hate that.
It's already purple.
Oh, well, you know they already hate that. You know they already hate that. Well, that's, you know, but too bad, too sad, oh well for them.
Well, remember what John Bridavo was talking about Friday. Beto O'Rourke is going to run for governor in 2022. Texas doesn't have a senator up.
Right.
They won't till 2024.
And you got, that's 4 years away. And that's 3 years away, man. And what about Pete Buttigieg? You know he had to be quarantined, right?
Yeah. But he's confirmed. He's the transportation secretary now.
Well, I'm sure that made Rush Limbaugh's head explode.
Rush Limbaugh, the man with the slowest cancer on earth.
What? Well, you right. Well, you don't wish ill will on him, but you know. But he's not going to go away anytime soon. You know, I mean, what is it about gay people that have these?
Well, he said, Rush said he has the stage four lung cancer. It's the damnedest stage four lung cancer I've ever heard of.
Yeah. He must be getting medicated. He must be getting special medication. But again, that's what happens when you smoke all them cigars, right?
Not necessarily. There's people out there, Reggie, who have been killed by lung cancer who have never had a cigarette touch their lips or a cigar.
Right. And I don't smoke myself either. But like you said, You said it's the longest stage 4 cancer he's ever had. Most people would have died from that.
Yeah, it seems like it's taken its sweet time about it.
So you think it's slowly but surely progressing within him, within his system? You know, he's still on the air, by the way.
Oh yeah, he will be until he breathes out and doesn't breathe in again.
Right. He's trying to make that money. He's trying to keep that cash flow going. You know. And did you hear about Sean Hannity and QAnon? About him being complicit with that. That he said he never had these people on his show. But he lied and said he did, they got rid of Lou Dobbs, right?
Oh yeah. Right, yeah. Bro? I had that.
Yeah. You know, he's pissed off. I just hope they never let him back on the air again.
You know? Oh no, I'm sure he'll have a sweet, sweet gig at Newsmuck or Onan. There's always another wingnut. There's always another wingnut welfare outfit for these people to go to.
Or he'll have his own podcast, as you say. He'll have his very own podcast. Him and Sean and the rest of these idiots. Well, people need to shut down Fox News. Fox News, not Fox that shows, movies and stuff. Fox News, not Fox Studios.
Yeah, yeah, they're all owned by the same guy.
Yeah, but
Rupert Murdoch.
They just shut the news section. Just shut down the news department. We'll be just fine, but they're not going to do that. And
well, they don't care how much money they don't care how much money they lose. What matters to them is spreading their ideological filth.
In other words, lies, right, Bob? And that they and that these exact same Republicans or the GOP are blaming us for rhetoric. For uncivil rhetoric.
Because we don't want to unify with the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters, and we don't want to unify with the Proud Boys, and we don't want to unify with the Oath Keepers or the Three Percenters . I'm sorry, I feel no need whatsoever to unify with a goddamn maggot.
Me neither. And I thought we were the snowflake, Bob, but they're the snowflake. They're still blaming us for what happened at the Capitol a month ago. They still say it's our fault. Even though we know it's not our fault, it's their fault. They're still blaming us for that. They're still blaming us for that.
Yep. Well, it's good to hear from you, Reggie. You take care of yourself. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Right. But they brought this. They always bring up this false equivalency, with us and the squad versus them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all saw Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber's campaign ad where she was pointing a gun at the squad.
Yeah,
we know
that's
them.
Dangerous.
We know who they are.
That's illegal. Yeah, that's illegal. That's a threat. That's illegal. I'm surprised she didn't get sued for that. But that's dangerous, man. That's just dangerous, man. It'll inspire other whack job maggots to do the exact same thing, right, Bob? These cycles out here.
Well, it's probably already underway. You know? It's probably already underway because we know that some of these goons are calling for more action on March the 4th because of some crazy shit that they believe. Reggie, you have a good night, my friend. You take care, all right?
You do too. But they believe in all these conspiracy theories, man, pumped out by, Alex Jones and the rest.
That's why they're doing it. Have a good evening, Reggie. See you, man.
You do.
And let's keep things rolling and check in with Flavio. Hey, Flavio. Oh, and before we get started,
Let me send out thanks. Thank you very kindly to Kat in Ohio. Thanks so very much indeed. We are now down to, 220 bucks to go to finish fundraising for the evening. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kat. It is greatly appreciated. That's true. Randy Radar pointing out, I don't know who said it, but one half truth equals one complete lie. The right is full of half truths. I think that's being generous, half, maybe a tenth, maybe a, you know, no, but I get it, yeah. Hey, Flavio, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I took a mental health absence from social media, kind of, sort of. I mean, I still... you know, continued doing my daily reading and posting of interesting things. And then I find out today or yesterday that I've been totally what's the word, incognizant of Jimmy Dore's latest shit. Can I say shit?
Yeah, of course. This is the internet. The FCC has no sway over us.
Okay. I did not know that he went and he interviewed a Boogaloo Boy. And he was floored that, you know, that this creature that he had invited on his show without doing absolutely no research was spouting some, you know, pro forma left.
Flavio, how do you do this work and not know who those assholes are?
Well, it gets better. So, it would have taken him three minutes tops, maybe, if he would. But no, he is. I'm convinced that he's evil. He's just fucking evil. And the terrible thing is that I have a sibling of mine who just eats up his shit. And I don't know, now, you know, this sibling of mine, I'm not going to mention, is just, you know, will not listen to any, you know. Well, I ran across Anna Kasparian's excellent, what, 20-minute dissection, and she brought the receipts, you know. She went on the web and, you know, basically said, you know, we have no truck with these people. We have no truck with these people because these people are out to destroy us. They are out to destroy us. They are out to destroy the government. Hey, guess what? We can't have Medicare for all without the government. Hey, what a concept. No, these people want to destroy the government. And then, you know, she showed, so Anna's got two master's degrees so far, and she's working on her PhD. God bless her. She's just so intelligent. I really am impressed with her. But she just calmly and methodically went over everything that creature put on, and he's spouting poison, just poison after, you know. And he went after. Well, you know, he's an ex Bernie Sanders. He went after Bernie Sanders, and then he went after the you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Those are the only people we have in Congress, you know, Rashida Tlaib.
Hey, Flavio, may I make an observation?
Let me finish.
Well, okay.
But the great thing is that Anna just went after him dispassionately, point by point, with you know, screenshots of the shit that these boogaloo boys have been saying. You know, they want a civil war. They are anti-government. They are not on our side. What the fuck is wrong with Jimmy? Well, you know, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
I will make an observation here that might help. He's just following the money, okay? He's just following the money. He's going wherever he thinks he can get an audience. And if he can get an audience by normalizing the Boogaloo Boys, that is, by Jesus, what he'll do. And of course, you know, Flavio, you sound as though you're surprised that he attacked Bernie and AOC
No. I knew that you know, that I stopped listening to him when. But I didn't know. I stopped listening to him last year. Okay. Sometime last year, or you know, mid last year, I you know. But then I was horrified that a sibling of mine was still enamored of this creature, and I was hoping that, you know, that he would. This sibling of mine, I have several siblings, so I guess I can speak of a sibling without giving the name away. But I mean, I'm just like, wow, you know. I'm just saying.
But Flavio, you're wildly intelligent, and I know you know what some of these things are. I know you know what bias confirmation is. And that's what the people who, you know, Jim, look, Jimmy Dore is trying to be some sort of left-ish version of Alex Jones, because it's a good dollar. I don't know if he
it's
started.
A good
dollar. I don't know if he started selling chocolate paleo chicken bone beverage. I don't know if he's talking yet about the monkey jellyfish hybrids in the wet markets of Old Kowloon, but. Probably will be at some point.
Yeah, but it was a beautiful thing. I caught the. It was only 20 minutes. It was only a 20-minute segment. Anna Kasparian did a beautiful job. She kept her composure. And I think she had Dixon on. What is his first name?
I know who you're talking about, but...
Yeah. Shad Dixon on, and these people are out to get us. They don't care, you know. They're not our friends. You know, and to have... I'm not surprised that you know... But Dixon pointed out that periodically... The people, you know, these Nazis will scout weaknesses on our side to try to get people to fall for them, you know, and that's what happened in the case of this person that Jimmy Dore had on his show, unquestioningly, fawningly. Oh, God, it was gross. I didn't watch all of it.
Did it ever occur to you that money may have changed hands for that?
Oh, no, yeah, probably, yeah. On our side, we don't have any money. You know, we never have any money. We work on, you know, the honor system, I guess. We try to, anyway. We try to. And then there was this blogger that, you know, that who was slighted by Jimmy, and he also brought the receipts, this guy Weber, and it's Rod Weber is his name, and he just plastered Twitter with, because the first time that he had been interviewed by Jimmy Dore, Jimmy Dore refused to post the interview that he had had with this, I guess he's a movie maker. And then, you know, once bitten, twice shy. The second time around that he was invited on Jimmy Dore's show, he recorded Jimmy Dore's, you know, he used a screen capture and sound and everything, and he captured, you know, Jimmy Dore's obfuscations and lies and everything, and then he, you know, he waited for a while, and, you know, hoping that Jimmy Dore would post the interview that he had with him, and of course Jimmy Dore didn't, because Jimmy Dore doesn't post when he's bested, right? And it's out there in all its glory. Yeah, so Jimmy Dore is now proselytizing for the Boogaloo Boys and the Nazis. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, you know, I should have taken a hint when Nicole Sandler just pummeled Ripe LeClone on her show way back.
Hey, I gotta ask, are you okay? This is not a criticism, but I had a note from Ralph saying that Flavio sounds like he's wheezing a lot. Is he okay? People worry about people.
Oh no, I've been smoking since I was 13, so I got a wheeze. I got COPD. You know, but I'm a lot better in the sense that I don't smoke as much as I used to, and I think I smoke maybe a couple packs. A couple of cigarettes a day, maybe. And you know, we're under polar. What is it called? A polar vortex.
Vortex, yeah.
Yeah, going outside is not really advisable. Your nose will fall off and shatter in different places. No, it's really cold. I mean, for the next week, I guess, not until next Tuesday, where we get, like, you know, maybe 20s. So we're under a deep freeze right now. Yeah, well, you know, this is Wisconsin. This is normal. This is, you know.
Yeah, actually, you should kind of be, I mean, a little glad, I guess. Because when you get that unseasonable warmth, you know, you worry.
Yeah, no,
Wisconsin ain't supposed to be like that.
No, and you know, in Finland, you know, they have a saying in Finland, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothes. So I've been, you know, I got the parka, the gloves. But I was really, you know, I was really glad that Anna Kasparian went out there and did that. She did a very nice job. Did I tell you she has two master's degrees and
yes,
she's going
yes.
on? She's really good. I mean, she's got a solid head on her shoulders.
What is she degreed in? I'm just curious. I don't know.
I think journalism and international relations. I guess she's got, you know. I have to look it up again, but I think communications and international relations. I mean, she's just blows my mind always, and just dispassionate, and you know, she was very circumspect in the way she went about it. I mean, because I would have lost it.
Yeah, didn't refer to him as a booger-eating maggot or anything like that. Some people are classy that way.
I would have gone after him. No, she was just very dispassionate and everything, and you know, went very professionally. I don't think I could have been professional because, look, it's our side. We're already handicapped. And then there's that son of a bitch doing that to us. You know, and that's inexcusable. And then, you know, the way he went after Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ayanna Pressley, and he might as well be a neo-Nazi skinhead. He is, because he is. He really is.
But see, that's the shtick, Flavio. Nobody can ever be as ideologically pure, you know, when you're working that corner. You know, everybody comes in for their own time in the barrel, as Roger Stone used to refer to it. Because you've got to be able to continue to point out how much more pure you are than they.
And that sucks. I have no sympathy for him whatsoever, I hope after that fiasco of having that troll on his show, I hope that after that that his fortunes change and for the worse. Actually, I really don't care for those people at all.
You give them a platform, they're damned well going to use it.
Because they're hurting us. Remember Jon Stewart when he went on
Crossfire?
On Crossfire, and, you know, you're hurting America. Well, Tucker Carlson is still fucking hurting America. And he needs to go, too.
Oh, that reminds me. I've been meaning to bring this up. There is a documentary out there, and it's kind of weird. Mm. But it's on HBO Plus. And Tracy told me about it.
Go ahead.
And it's called The Lady and the Dale. And I'm not bringing it up because of the subject matter. It is what it is. It was not to my liking. But what was fascinating in it was that early on, there's a clip of a guy whose last name is Carlson doing a reader about the subject matter of this documentary. And I'm like, son of a bitch, that's where he comes from. Because the resemblance was unmistakable, as was the lack of talent. But it just seemed like it, because I've often wondered, how did a little neo maxi zoom dweeby like Tucker Carlson ever get a job anywhere? And remember, he got his start at CNN for all intents and purposes as Bowtie Boy.
Bowtie Boy, yeah.
And then left for the much greener, much more lucrative pastures of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And I think at some point in time, it was in those days that young Willie Geist of Morning Joe, My Filthy Morning Habit, was his sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, that went, kind of put me back in my seat. Wait a minute. That's either the father or great or grandfather of Tucker Carlson.
You know, he never wore a bow tie again after Jon Stewart got done with him.
I thought he took the bow tie off after he left CNN.
No, after that show, he never wore a bow tie again. I kind of wish that Jon Stewart had had a greater effect on him.
But what you mentioned that Jon Stewart appearance on Crossfire, and you know, what an innocent, simpler time that was, when somebody with great wealth and power and wit and cleverness could think they could go on a cable news TV talk show and read them the Riot Act, and that would make America better.
Yeah, I know, but he did speak truth to power, and then to his credit, he went, I'm talking Jon Stewart now, and advocated beautifully for the 9/11 responders, the people at Ground Zero that, you know.
He was masterful in that.
Oh, he was indefatigable.
And he burned Moscow Mitch to the ground.
And we must always remember him for what he did. He's a patriot in my book, for real. I will always admire him because of what he did. And he tried to be professional about it. You know, remember, he tried not to attack the other side, the bad side, the evil doers. He tried to make it bipartisan. But I understand what he was trying to
and right, and so just if I may, so what he wound up doing is he pretty much signed the death warrant of Crossfire on CNN.
Yes.
And
yes.
that was the end of Crossfire. And meanwhile, over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, oh, look, they just disarmed some more. And they ramped it up. They ramped it up, Fox did. I mean, I've got a clip here that I've been slowly moving toward working into the program of Biden administration White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki dealing with Steve Doocy from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. It's a beautiful thing, and it kind of speaks to my heart, Flavio, because it's one of those bullshit statistics of the sort that I've heard about for nigh on 20 years. Well, we can't fill in the blank of whatever extraction industry that's poisoning an entire fucking state, nation, and world. We can't replace that. Why, they create jobs.
Yeah, I'm liking Jen Psaki
and Steve Doocy tried to play that game with her, and she so wasn't having any of it, and just reached out. Oh, by the way, is this yours? You know, handed him his ass. You might enjoy the clip. Here we go.
I will. Go ahead.
Stand by.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. I do have a question on both of them. First on energy. When is it that the Biden administration is going to let the thousands of fossil fuel industry workers, whether it's pipeline workers or construction workers, who are either out of work or will soon be out of work because of a Biden EO, when it is and where it is that they can go for their green job? And that is something the administration has promised. There is now a gap. So I'm just curious when that happens, when those people can count on that.
Well, I'd certainly welcome you to present your data of all the thousands and thousands of people who won't be getting a green job. Maybe next time you're here, you can present that.
But you said that they would be getting green jobs, so I'm just asking when that happens. Richard Trumka, who is a friend, longtime friend of Joe Biden, says about that day one Keystone EO, he says, I wish he, the president, had paired that more carefully with the thing that he did second by saying, here's where we are creating the jobs. So there's partial evidence from Richard Trumka.
Well, you didn't include all of his interview. Would you like to include the rest?
So how about this? The Laborers International Union of North America said the Keystone decision will cost 1,000 existing union jobs and 10,000 projected construction jobs.
Well, what Mr. Trump also indicated in the same interview was that President Biden has proposed a climate plan with transformative investments in infrastructure and laid out a plan that will not only create millions of good union jobs, but also help tackle the climate crisis. And as the president has indicated when he gave his primetime address to talk about the American Rescue Plan, he talked about his plans to also put forward a jobs plan in the weeks or months following. And he has every plan to do exactly that.
But there are people living paycheck to paycheck. There are now people out of jobs once the Keystone Pipeline stopped construction. It's been 12 days since Gina McCarthy and John Kerry were here, and it's been 19 days since that EO. So what are these people who need money now? When do they get their green job?
Well, the president and many Democrats and Republicans in Congress believe that investment in infrastructure, building infrastructure, that's in our national interests, and that boosts the U.S. economy, creates good-paying union jobs here in America, and advances our climate and clean energy goals are something that we can certainly work on doing together. And he has every plan to share more about his details of that plan in the weeks ahead.
And just a quick one on the stimulus. There's reporting that House Democrats...
And I need to offer a correction, Flavio. That was not Steve Ducey. That was Peter Ducey. So I guess a little nepotism in the ranks maybe at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. But that was a beautiful moment when she said, I'd certainly welcome you to present your data of all the thousands and thousands of people who won't be getting a green job. Maybe next time you're here, you can present that.
No, that was beautiful.
She's
the epitome of grace under fire.
Yeah, but sometimes it seems like the grace is being strained in the breach, because it's hard to put up with stupidity like that. And like I said, the story spoke to me because I can't tell you how many times I've heard, you know, the likes of Don Blankenship say, "Well, if we take away mountaintop removal, I mean there'll be." Thousands of jobs lost. I mean, mountaintop removal provides tens of thousands of jobs in West Virginia. I mean, if it wasn't for mountaintop removal, there'd be hundreds of thousands of jobs lost. And I mean, mountaintop removal is the reason West Virginia has millions and millions of jobs. And they just keep going up. And it's all made up horse shit.
Of course.
That's why she invited him to bring it next time, because there isn't any fucking data.
There's no substance, absolutely not.
I mean, I when I was going up to northern Wisconsin, and they were fighting against the now dead hillbilly who was trying to blow up the Pinocchi Hills, it was the same thing all over again. Well, if we get to blow up the Pinocchi Hills, there'll be thousands of jobs, because blowing up the Pinocchi Hills brings you tens of thousands of jobs. There's nothing like having an iron mine in the Pinocchi Hills with hundreds of thousands of jobs. By God, we're going to pave the streets of pave the streets of Mellon and Ashland in solid 24-karat gold, because there's going to be a million jobs.
Yeah, and the sand mining that's causing silicosis.
Yeah, those good old ultra-fine particulates that little children in a school in New Auburn, Wisconsin, are breathing every goddamn day. Yes.
Yeah, because. Frack fuel, and the reason why the air quality in western Wisconsin hasn't been what it used to be, you know, and because of, you know, particulates in the air. Never mind my smoking, that's a given. But I mean, the fact that children have to deal with, you know, ultrafine particulates, which you've talked about in your show forever, and that cause lung cancer for people that have never smoked in their lives. You know, I at least have an excuse. I've been smoking since I was 13.
And I did want to just put it out there for your consideration, Flavio, because I started smoking when I was 14. And
yeah, I know I'm gonna die of, you know, some kind of pulmonary failure.
But the thing is, it's never, and I am not one of these anti-cigarette purists. I'm not a true believer, but I am impressed with the fact that I, for a variety of reasons, decided to quit, and I quit. And I use these
wonderful.
And I use these little nicotine pouches. I'd used the patches in the past. It wasn't worth a damn. Didn't help. Didn't like the gum. The gum made me sick. But these little pouches, by God, have made it possible for me to be a non-smoker.
And that's the thing. I mean,
and at $3 for 20 of them, they're a hell of a lot cheaper than cigarettes.
Yeah. No. Like I said, if I smoke 2 cigarettes a day, it's a lot. I've cut down immensely.
Well, I'm not hectoring you.
No, I just wanted to say congratulations once again. What is it, 150th day? No.
Oh God, it was 100 days on December 24th. So that's the way I reckon it. So 31, 39. 40, I guess we're at 146 days.
Almost 150th day. So
yeah. 150th day will be Thursday.
Thursday, okay. And again, congratulations. And I wanted to let someone else get on, but I just had to chime in today because I learned of this. I have been taking a break from the internet because I do need to take care of business and mental health and all that, and I really need to, and things are in good hands now. I'm so impressed with Biden, how he's cleaning house. He needs to do, what was the analogy that I used? Trump left him an Augean stables worth of shit.
Yeah.
And broke
the shovel before he left.
And broke the shovel before he left. So, you know, and Biden will have to divert quite the brook to clean those stables. And so I am just being ultra, super ultra fucking generous and
yeah.
And,
he is proving to be, at least in these earliest days, as far as I'm concerned, Flavio, he is proving to be exceeding my expectations exceedingly well.
Exceeding my wildest expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
What I told you, I think I said that to you.
I mean, I'm not We still don't have a single payer bill on the
I'm not worried about that in due time.
Well, maybe.
But I'm impressed with, and I hope he does fire the board of the postal board, whatever, so that he can get rid of DeJoy.
Louis DeJoy, yeah.
Because I like my, you know, I pay my bills still. I still use the U.S. Postal Service to pay my bills. And I don't appreciate my mail getting late.
No.
When I have bills to pay.
And it's still fucked up. I mean, usually there was, you know, something in the mailbox every day, good, bad, or indifferent. That's not true anymore.
No, I've been paying two weeks ahead. I've been paying my bills at least 2 weeks ahead just to make sure that, you know. And it's been, you know, making it to the wire.
Yeah, because you can see online when they get it.
Yeah. So I just hope that he is able to clean house there. You know, I can wait for Bernie's postal banking and, you know, improvements, postal banking would be great. But I would just like to get the postal service working again for the people that need medicine out in the country.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, whose medicine has to be competently delivered, like, say, in a frozen or refrigerated state.
Yeah, in dry ice and shit. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Larry in the chat room wants to know, does Flavio use post-dated checks? When you mail your bills
sometimes.
In.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, no, post-dated, what do you mean? Like,
you know, dating it.
No,
dating it for when you expect it to arrive.
No, I don't do that. No, what I do is I send, I send it 2 weeks before, and I date it 2 weeks before, and when it gets there, it gets cashed. No, I don't play that game. I try to be proactive in that sense. I have the money. If I have the money, it gets there, they cash it. I write it off my transaction register. It's gone. I don't even rely on my bank to do the tally. I do the tally myself.
Good. Well, it's good practice. Hey, I wanted to mention something to you because I know this kind of thing speaks to you.
I'll tell you why. Because I was profligate in France when I had an account at the Crédit Lyonnais. And when I was playing games with my account, they taught me a lesson in France. They froze my account.
Ouch.
And I couldn't use my account until I had funds in it. And that taught me really quickly not to play around with money that you don't have.
Right. That's for our betters. That's for the assholes who, you know, short stocks and things like that.
Yeah, so they taught me a lesson at the Crédit Lyonnais. When they froze my account for a month, and I had to go have lunch at a friend's house because I ran out of money and I couldn't go to the grocery store.
Ouch.
Because I had no money. I was a foreign student.
Can't spend what you don't got. No, I wanted to mention something to you because I know these things are, you find them as interesting as I do. I just happened to stumble across an interview over the weekend, and I watched it with rapt attention. It is the last interview. It's 1973. It's the last interview that LBJ ever gave. And he gave it to Walter Cronkite. And as Agnes and I were watching it, one of the things that I observed was that if you listen to Walter Cronkite's style of speech, that you know, it's an announced voice because he started in radio. But you realize how severely diminished the idea of being in a position like his has become. It was breathtaking to me. And then the content itself, Flavio, was astonishing because he spends a great deal of time talking about civil rights, his role as president in the struggle. He talked about things he learned as a child, and the man would be dead in 30 days. You know, he died at 64. And in the course of going off down the internet rabbit hole to read up on LBJ, I need to get an actual quality biography of him and just read it and learn.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it talked about the fact that he was a 60 cigarette a day smoker.
Oh, he was like my mom. Okay.
And so, you know, that probably explains the dead at 64 part. But
yeah, my mom died at 49.
But the content, The content
was a three-pack-a-day smoker.
The content was what really blew my mind, though. It is that interview is a treasure trove of information on how the government eventually got around to responding to the civil rights movement and making what we back then thought was going to be real progress. I highly recommend it. Walter Cronkite, it's called LBJ, The Last Interview, if you look it up on YouTube. It is worth it's worth every minute of your time.
I appreciate that. I'll close with Bill Moyers' reminiscence on in the New York Times when he says that he was traveling in the South, I guess, with LBJ, and he was horrified. Bill Moyers was at the racism in the South, the posters, and the
don't let the sun set on you here. Yeah, that kind of crap.
And LBJ told him basically his understanding was that you tell a white person that he's better than the best black person, and he'll let you pick his pocket.
Yeah, I've heard that before. It's true.
Yeah. Hell, he'll even empty his pockets for you, you know. And I remember that interview with Bill Moyers, and that stuck with me.
Yeah, you need some more money, I can go out and pawn the hubcaps.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And that's the Southern strategy. That's been the Southern strategy ever since. And LBJ, God bless his soul, he verbalized it beautifully. I don't have the exact quote, but it just stuck with me.
Well, if you go to Wikipedia and look up LBJ, you will see a link to The Treatment. It was called The Treatment.
The Treatment, yeah.
And it's what LBJ would do when he wanted something from you. And the description is just fascinating. And it's another one of those aspects of kind of gone. Now I'm the one. Frog in my throat.
Now, what was the documentary, the last interview?
It's LBJ, The Last Interview. It's not even really a documentary. It's just Walter Cronkite's The Last Interview, and Walter Cronkite was the interviewer.
And it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. I'll look it up.
Oh, and going back to the issue of bills in the mail, bills in the post office, Jeremy in Vermont. And by the way, anybody who hasn't seen them, run over to the Horn Facebook page. Jeremy posted some absolutely exquisite photos of the Vermont countryside in the depths of winter from one of his snowmobiling expeditions, I guess, this weekend. And they are drop-dead beautiful. But Jeremy said, I told a few people on the back porch Friday, I received my snowmobile insurance renewal and my snowmobile insurance cancellation the very same day, two different envelopes, dated a month apart.
Wow.
So, you know, that's what Louis DeJoy has done to us. Randy in PA says, I got my electric bill late, so I sent it off on the first of this month or the second, and it's due on the 9th, but it still hasn't gotten there.
Yeah, I'm in touch.
And so there's a reason to get rid of the members, put in, and because, see, this is the damnedest thing. The President of the United States can't actually fire.
No, he can't. He needs to fire the board.
And then put a new board in, and they fire Louis DeJoy.
And they fire Louis DeJoy, or alternatively, and that was something I read as well, appoint more Democrats to the board, which is what I think he's going to do.
Yeah, I think there are vacancies.
Yeah, there are vacancies, and he's going to tilt. I think he's going to tilt the board more towards Democrats so that they can fire him. Because he needs to be, they need, the board members themselves need to be fired for cause. And they got that because, of course, with the piss poor performance of the Postal Service.
Oh, and the pissing
lately,
and moaning will be heard on the Republican pissing and moaning will be heard on the moon, Flavio.
Yeah, but the cause is there. The cause is there, but he needs to go through a procedure.
Yeah.
He needs to go through a procedure, and this is where, you know, I am cutting Joe Biden all the slack and in the world because, like I said, he's been given, you know, Augean stables worth of
shit. I know it seems different. We are precisely 19 days into his presidency.
And like I said, the Augean stables, you know, you need to find a river to divert the course. And, I mean, the logistics are... I'm cutting Biden all the slack he needs. I mean,
more than the slack he needs. I hope most of America will do that. And it looks like America is because his approval rating is way north of 60%. Not quite to 70, but he's, I think 68 was what I saw most recently. And of course, COVID Caligula never could get past 50.
Yeah, you're not gonna hear a catharsis argument from me, okay? I'm not the pure. I'm not a cathar. I'm not an Albigensian, okay?
Sure.
You can forget.
The monks pretty much, that was the Benedictines, wasn't it? Pretty much put paid to anybody being a Cathar or an Albigensian.
Yeah, I'm not an Albigensian, okay?
Yeah, by the way, that's one of my favorite jokes. The Jesuit and the Benedictine having a little chat over lunch. And the Jesuit says to the Benedictine, so why was your order founded? And the Benedictine says, well, it was to stamp out the Albigensian heresy. How about you? And the Jesuit says, well, it was to stamp out the Protestant heresy. And the Benedictine sits back and has a contented smile on his face, a little bit of a smirk. And Jesuit says, why are you smiling? He says, well, I think we're probably the better order. The Jesuit says, why do you say that? Benedictine monk looks up and says, you don't see any Albigensians, do you?
No, but...
I knew you'd like that. I knew you'd like that.
I do. Well, I'll let you go, because it's 3 minutes to the hour, but...
Yep. Where did the program go?
It's been delightful, and again, thank you for being there.
My pleasure, Flavio. My pleasure.
And I love you, man.
Love you, too. And remember, we all have to take a break sometimes. That was a good little mental health break you gave yourself. We all need
that. Yeah, no,
I know.
I miss
it. I love that.
I miss that one. Jesus, I go away and all shit breaks loose, you know, all hell breaks
loose. Oh, are you kidding me? I'm in abject terror because when I finally do get around to getting these awful teeth cut out and whatever time that requires for me to be off the air, I expect, everything will go to shit. Everything, you know, there'll be stories that I could fill a lobster on for 6 hours, not three. And it'll all be at a time when if I tried to open the mic, it would be, and I won't be able to do a damn thing.
Yeah, it's just, take care of yourself. And good luck with the surgery, too. You're gonna start it early, huh?
It's just becoming obvious that I can't, I mean, but,
you
know, if we could get the campaign to $10,000, it would be really, really helpful.
But you already scheduled it?
I was supposed to call today. I'm trying to get it on a Thursday, but I don't want to. I was thinking about this Thursday, but now I'm thinking about a week from Thursday, because I don't want to be out during the impeachment trial.
Right.
Because
right.
if I am, that'll be the day that Nitwit Nero comes into the Senate saying,
"I'm going to testify,"
and I'll be sitting there going, "Oh, ah, ah."
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be something out of the in-laws. Yeah, Mrs. Edelman cannot open her mouth. Mrs. Edelman cannot open her mouth. You know the scene, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. There's so much I need to see again, you know, that I haven't seen for like 20, 30 years.
Oh, you know what we were watching last night instead of the Super Bowl? I'd never seen it, and we just saw a clip fly by of it on a compilation. It was like, wow, I've never seen that. Agnes and I sat and watched Flashdance, and it was a really good little movie. And the dance was
exciting. I love Flashdance.
And the choreography and the, oh Jesus, it was, yeah.
Who's the young lady?
Jennifer Beals.
She's lovely.
And of course, it's set in Pittsburgh, and I love Pittsburgh, so yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer Beals.
And then Irene Cara with the theme song, yeah.
Hubba 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 hubba.
Oh.
Back in the day when I was in high school, and she's a maniac. Is that one?
Yeah, that's in there too. Yeah, that's the big dance number.
The big dance number.
You know, when she's auditioning.
Oh yeah, she's so beautiful.
What was that, Michael Cimbello?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been a great conversation, Flavio, and I enjoyed it. And I'm glad you called in from frozen Wisconsin, like it's supposed to be. Ralph's serving as the ad hoc horn research department, did send a note along saying Biden can appoint 3 postal board members plus 1, and that'll be
exactly.
And that'll be enough to get the job done.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what I read. He can do that. He can fire them, which would create a firestorm, but he's probably going to tilt the board by appointing more and more Democrats, and then do the deed.
And Vice President Harris can sit there as president of the Senate and say, "I get to vote too. I vote yes."
Yes.
Sit down, Mitch, and shut the fuck up. Yes.
Sit down. Shut the fuck up.
Flavio, have a great night, my friend. Take care of yourself, you hear?
You too. I love you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Flavio calling from beautiful La Crosse. And so we come to the end of the program. Thank you very kindly to Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Kat. You jumped in there so that we didn't have a total goose egg, and that is much appreciated. We're down to 220. That'll get us to, so I guess we'll be at like, 5:20 for tomorrow. So, hopefully, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kat. Thank you immensely. All right, then. Thanks to all of you who, with your subscriptions via Patreon and PayPal, are partial sponsors of the program. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of our a la carte contributors who also keep the program on the air. Thank you immensely. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky earlier in the chat room. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Randu Malloy, on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at headon.live. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Billions and billions of progressive liberal radio hours served. Keep healing, Ben. You'll be okay. Ben had a nasty fall. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine as soon as you possibly can. In the meantime, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask, wear your gloves if you've got them. If you can get a box of nitrile gloves, it's worth your time. Maintain your social distance 15 feet among people who don't have masks on with someone who, or who do have masks on with those who don't. Well, you can't get far enough away from. And of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, put all the chicken in the bag, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Later.